Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you that we've come together, that we've come together united. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you for all that you do. Thank you for this opportunity to fellowship together and to fellowship with you. May your will be done here, Lord, this morning. May your words be spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. Siobhan and I speaking about prayer this morning. Prayer is not limited to prayers prayed in a church building on a Sunday morning, or prayers prayed by ministers and leaders, or prayers spoken eloquently or fluently. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever the need you find yourself in, we can call out to God. He will hear and answer your prayers according to his will. God doesn't weigh the value of our prayers by their length, or by how many people get together to pray, or by how much emotion we put into our prayers. Jesus rebuked those who prayed using fancy, fake prayers. He said in Matthew 6, "When you are praying, don't say meaningless things like the unbelievers do, because they think they will be heard by being so wordy and verbose. Don't be like them, because your Father knows what you need before you even ask him." Jesus prayed in many ways. In Luke 5:16, he said, Jesus prayed in many ways, and in Luke 5, it tells us he himself would often slip away into the wilderness to pray. Before Jesus chose his disciples, he went off into the mountains and prayed, and he prayed all night. Jesus also spoke very short prayers. In Luke 23, he said, when he was on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." There are many, many prayers of praise. There are many, many prayers of crying out. In both the Old and the New Testament, we find these prayers. The Psalms are full of prayers, and many of Jesus' words were actual prayers, including the most well-known by Christians and non-Christians alike, the Lord's Prayer. We can learn so much from the way Jesus prayed. He gave thanks. His prayers were full of giving thanks to the Father. Praise was a regular part of Jesus' life. He also prayed as a time of communion and a time of sharing with God the Father. His relationship with his Heavenly Father naturally resulted in his desire to spend time with him. And third, Jesus prayed with submission to God. All his prayers were in accordance to God's will. In Luke 22:42, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And he said this before he went to the cross. And Jesus is still praying for us. He's praying with us in Romans 8:34. "Who is the one to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and who indeed is interceding for us." I'd like to share a quote with you about the Lord's Prayer. It's written by John Piper, who's an American pastor, a theologian, and an author of over 50 Christian books. And he said, "The Lord's Prayer is very true to life in this sense. Life is a combination of spectacular things and simple things. In almost everyone's life, there are breathtaking things and boring things, fantastic things and familiar things, extraordinary things and ordinary things, awesome things and average things, exotic things and everyday things. That's the way life is." When we look at the Lord's Prayer, we can see two parts. The first part, verses 9 and 10, has three requests. And the second part, verses 11 to 13, has three requests. The first three are, "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We ask God to cause his holy name. We ask God to cause his name to be holy. We ask him to cause his kingdom to come, and to cause his will to be done as it is done with the angels in heaven. The second three requests are, Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have debts against us. And to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. These three requests are about us. We're asking God to provide us with our daily bread, forgive us our sins, and protect us from evil. The first three we pray about God's greatness and about God's glory, and the second three we pray about our needs and our problems. The two halves are very different. The first half are spiritual and holy, and the second half are mundane and ordinary. That's the way life is. Part holy and full of hope for eternity and glorifying God, and part just getting by and meeting our daily deeds, saying we're sorry, and just trying to keep out of trouble. In other words, there is a similarity between the Lord's Prayer and our daily lives. The big and the little, the glorious and the common, the majestic and the mundane. The Lord's Prayer is how Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Jesus understood how tough life can be and how we will all struggle at different times as we walk with him. How our carnal man can overshadow our spiritual man, he knew that as well. But praise God, we have the honour to come before him in prayer. To each time we think on or repeat the Lord's Prayer, we're reminded of his glory and majesty, and that he actually understands the difficulties we go through. Now, what does prayer actually do? Number one, prayer draws us closer into a relationship with God. Prayer allows us to partner with God in the fulfilling of his will. Through prayer, we have a personal contact with God. John 15:7, Jesus said to his disciples, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you." God answers prayers that are in agreement with his will. His answers are not always yes, but they are always in our best interest. When our desires line up with God's will, prayers will be answered. When we pray passionately and purposefully according to God's will, God responds wonderfully. In 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask according to his will, he hears us. Prayer is not for satisfying our natural desires and getting what we want. Through prayer, it does satisfy our desires when those desires line up with God's, when they line up with God's will, and when our desires coincide with his holy plans. Psalm 37:4-8, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. There's so many verses that keep saying, in God's will, things will be done. When we're close to God, he actually begins to shape our desires so that we desire the things that he has already called us to do. When life gets tough, it seems we may be disillusioned, sometimes very disillusioned with God, with ourselves, with those around us. Some sailors in Psalm 107, they were at their wit's end with their life, with their situation. They couldn't sail their ship on their own, and then they cried out to God. It says in verse 28, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. When we go through life's challenges, we tend to either push God away or to draw closer to him. It's funny how we do that. We often go to God in prayer much more when we're feeling struggles in our life, and we think much more about our spirituality and our mortality. It's a good thing that we can trust God and draw closer to him and communicate more with him. Maybe that's why we go through such challenges. Because often when it's smooth sailing, we just keep on sailing by and we don't draw close to God. We don't feel his power and we don't feel his presence as much. Prayer is communicating with God, and communicating is a two-way conversation. How often do we talk to God without pausing to listen to what he's trying to say back to us? But then, shh, listen. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the earth. That's Psalm 46:10. So the power of prayer draws us closer into a relationship with God. Number two, prayer strengthens our faith. I can see such an analogy with the psalm that I was talking about, Psalm 107. 25 says, I'm going to go through the verses. The verse says, "He spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves." And I saw that as at times God's plans in our life, in our community, in our wider world, seems to be like a raging sea. Does God stir up our lives to help us grow and develop in our faith walk? I wondered. In 26, it says, "They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away." So at times, our lives seem to be on a roller coaster. We're lifted up to the heavens in joy and confidence for a season, and then we're down in the pits of despair. Tragedy or hurt comes into our lives. But with our courage and faith, taking a nosedive, we can draw closer to God. In 27, it says, "They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wit's end." When we feel battered and bruised with life, all the things that are getting thrown at us, we wonder what's going on. We often ask, why? Why me? What's going on? How can I get out of this? Then they cried out to the Lord in verse 28. "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress." Often, only when we're at the end of our tether, whether we're managing life, when we're not managing life on our own, when we cannot fix the issues, when we have banged our head against the wall far too many times, then, only then, do we cry out to God. And you know what? Just as those sailors did cry out to God, and just as for those sailors, God did hear them. God hears our cries, and he brings us out of our distress. He lifts us up and supports us. In 29, it says, "He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed." If we cry out to God and allow him to take control, life can become calm and peaceful. It is through God's peace that surpasses all understanding. In Philippians 4, 6 and 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." In verse 30, it says, "They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven." When we trust God to guide us, God takes us to where we desire to go. If we trust him and call out to him and allow him to calm the waters and still our lives, he does guide us, not to some unexpected place, but it says to our desired haven. I wondered what God meant about this, what our desired haven was. I believe it's our salvation in Christ, which is a place of great peace and of great rest. We unload our baggage at the harbour. We get off that turbulent sea of life and we start to communicate with Jesus. When we accept Jesus as our Saviour, we become stronger in our relationship with God through prayer, through love and through our fellowship with Jesus Christ. In 31 it says, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind." After a ride on the roller coaster of life, even if we feel like throwing up, we need to glorify and praise God for his love and his compassion, to thank him for his guiding light, Jesus Christ, who leads us to our safe haven, to continually glorify God for sending his Son to die upon the cross to offer eternal life to mankind, to offer eternal life to each one of us. So prayer, the power of prayer, strengthens our faith. Number three, prayer unlocks the spiritual realm. Prayer is the divinely ordained mechanism that leads you into the power and victory of Christ. Prayer unlocks a heavenly realm. It brings the power of heaven down to earth. In Ephesians 6, we read that Paul says, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers and against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." So take up and put on your armour of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the spirit, the sword of the Spirit, the very word of God. Then in verse 18, Paul goes on to say, "Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." There are two actions that we have to do here. We have to pick up the armour and we have to put it on. There's no point in picking up the weapons if we're not prepared to use them. The Holy Spirit, by its very nature, is the mind and the power of God. It is given to those who surrender and humbly accept a relationship with God. Through God's Holy Spirit, we have the power-filled means to reach and to communicate with God with an ever-increasing degree of authority and effectiveness. So the power of prayer unlocks the spiritual realm. Number four, prayer unites us together. Prayer brings about agreement and common objectives. Prayer brings about concern for others, love for others, compassion towards others, and empathy towards others. In James 5:13 it says, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing praises to God." We need to come together with the right heart that is in harmony with God. We should not have ill will towards others or undealt sin in our lives. How can we pray in accordance with God's will when there's difficulties and challenges in our own lives and hearts? In James 5:16 it goes on to say, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." A righteous person. Are we righteous? Are any of us truly righteous? I looked it up, and righteous means to act according to divine or moral law, to be free from guilt and sin. Don't we sin every day? On delving deeper into this, which is another message on its own, Pastor Michael, I believe that we can be righteous. Romans 5:19 says, For as through the one man's disobedience, which is Adam, the many were made sinners. Even so, through the obedience of the one, Jesus, the many will be made righteous. So if we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, we are righteous, not through what we've done, but through his grace and his salvation. Yes, through Jesus' sacrifice on that cross and our acceptance of his offer of salvation, we are made righteous. So the prayers of the righteous person are powerful and they are effective. In Psalm 34:17 it says, When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. To be united in prayer, we also need to support each other. After Paul had written the great message of encouragement about the armour of God in Ephesians 6, he then went on to say in verse 21 that he was sending one of his beloved brothers and faithful ministers in the Lord to them, so that they also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing. We need to be willing to tell others about our needs and then listen to others as they speak about their needs to us. I don't think Paul was saying to go and tell everybody about your woes and about your heartaches, but I think he was saying, you need to know what's going on. How can you pray if you don't know my circumstances? And if we share with others and have a person that we can pray and share with confidentially, then we're supported the same as what he was in his mission. If we put on a facade when we meet people and answer the standard greeting of how are you with, yeah, I'm fine, I'm great, well, when it's not actually true, how can we expect others to support us and to know that what's going on in our lives, or just to know I need prayer? Some have a gift of discernment and can see past that facade, but for many of us, we just take it as at face value. Yeah, sure, they're doing fine. They look great. But we need to be honest with people. And so the power of prayer does unite us. And then, am I up to number six? I didn't number them. Doesn't matter. Prayer glorifies God. When we acknowledge and proclaim the power of God and how it works and how it is working miracles and wonders in our lives, we bring glory to him. When we have a thankful heart towards God for hearing, for working on, and for answering our prayers, we testify to those around us how great his power is. Prayer is not for satisfying our natural desires. It is for glorifying God. Our prayers must be in line with God's holy purpose. God aims to glorify himself through everything he does and through everything we do. In John 14:13-14, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Always keep in mind that this implies a self-sacrifice. It is a prayer that our prayers may not be answered, except if they are in accordance with God's will. 1 Peter 4:11 says, "If anyone speaks, he should speak as one conveying the words of God. If anyone serves, he should serve with the strength that God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory, the power, forever and ever." When our goals and desires are in tune with God's purpose, our prayers will be answered. If we want God to respond to our interests and desires, we must be devoted to his interests and desires. Prayer can range from individual prayers, alone, prayers in a prayer chain across the globe. Especially with our modern technology, it is so easy to enlist prayer support from friends and family across the nation. The more who pray, the more who get blessed, and the more God answers prayers. It's a domino effect. The more people who testify to God's glory, the more people who will seek God, and the more people who will trust God, and then the more people who will come to know him as their Lord and Saviour. So the power of prayer glorifies God. Last week, Pastor Michael was talking about worshipping God. I started to refer to that actually in this message, and I started to type, Pastor Michael spoke about how important spending time worshipping God was. But then as I typed those words, I realised that worship is not just a time and a place. Worshipping God is a constant state of mind and spirit, developing in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is also the case with prayer. We can set aside time to pray. We can come together to pray. We can pray in our prayer closet. We can have prayer meetings. We can have prayer time in our church services. Even though we participate in all these methods of prayer, prayer is a state of mind and a state of spirit. We need to aim to be in a constant state of prayer and worship, constantly in tune and listening to the Holy Spirit. And I challenge you, is that possible? I don't know. Is it possible to be in a constant state of prayer, in a constant state of spiritual, both in spirit and in mind? So it's a challenge for you to think on. I'd like to leave you with 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. And that through the power of prayer, that we all draw closer to God, we become strengthened in our faith, we unlock the spiritual realm, we become united together, and most importantly, we glorify God in all we say and all we do. Amen.
I'm not sure. I was going to say, I'm not sure you want me to preach my sermon today. It's 11:30. Good job, Cheryl. You filled it all in. Who's hungry? Who's on the verge of hangry? All right. Jess, can I please have my first slide up? Thank you. Okay, so the basic definition of prayer from Google Dictionary is a solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God. The world's definition of prayer is hoping or wishing for something. On Facebook, I see non-saved people swap the word for prayer for good thoughts or positive vibes. For example, someone's daughter broke their arm and there were comments like, sending positive vibes your way, instead of offering to pray for them or help out practically. In the world's version of prayer, they are not talking to God. They are in fact just hoping to send their thoughts out into the universe, and then the universe will give them what they want. The world longs to have the intimacy of prayer with God, but they are fighting it tooth and nail. In fact, the other week we went to a naming day, which was pretty much the non-Christian's version of a dedication. So they named the godparents and they talked about how the family was going to help raise up this child. So they want what we've got. We just have to try and give it to them. The biblical definition of prayer is up on the screen. It can be audible or silent, private or public, formal or informal. It must be offered in faith. Prayer is always in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's always in the power of the Holy Spirit. It can be seeking God's favour. It can be pouring out one's soul to the Lord. It can be crying out to heaven. Prayer is always drawing us nearer to God and is always kneeling before the Father. So what does the Bible say about the power of prayer? Jesus taught in Matthew 17, verse 20, "I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Are we having faith that God can move mountains? Do we really believe this? Ephesians 6, verse 18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." Prayer is another way to be filled with the Spirit. Do we want the fruits of the Spirit? I love what Pastor Michael said a couple of weeks ago about us striving in our own strength to possess the fruits of the Spirit. They would be called fruits of the flesh if we could do it on our own. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to have the fruits of the Spirit. One easy and effective way to be filled with the Spirit is through prayer. Imagine the power of Grow Church in the community with a congregation of Spirit-filled Christians. Most of you know my 4-year-old son, Owen. Pretty hard to miss. I love him to bits. But when he was a baby, I could not turn my back for 1 minute. He's getting better as he gets older. But seriously, my Saturday mornings would start with me waking up to him have poured a whole bottle of baby oil over the bathroom floor. Or I would go out to feed the chickens and come back and he's smashing a wine bottle on the ground, sitting in the puddle of wine with glass everywhere. 2 seconds I was out the house. One Saturday morning I woke up, he had opened the fridge, pulled the eggs out and was throwing the eggs across the kitchen, sitting in egg mess. Another time I was in the lounge room and I hear a noise and he's reached up to the microwave, opened the microwave and is pushing his toy drum into the microwave. We bought him a playpen, hoping this would contain him. He ripped off the gate and the playpen was not effective anymore. We took him on a holiday and in the middle of Sydney he ran off in the city and man, I had to chase him. Half of me was going, do I really want to? But Luke and I are not naturally the most patient of people, as some of you probably know. God has tested us and taught us through this time, and we could not have made it this far without prayer. Currently facing some behaviour battles at kindy, and in the car one morning, Owen tells me to turn the song down so he can pray. He goes, "Mum, turn it down, I need to pray." And all I hear in the back seat is, "Dear Jesus, help me to be a good boy today. Amen." And it broke my heart. Owen prays about everything. If I stub my toe, he prays. Just before we eat, he says, "Stop, we haven't prayed," and he prays. Random times throughout the day. "Dear Jesus, I pray that I'm going to have a good day. Pray that we have fun." And he thanks God for all his toys. It's amazing. And this was what put the topic of prayer on my heart. Can you please put the next slide up? Our challenge is, are we praying enough? 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17 says, "Pray without ceasing." To pray unceasingly obviously cannot mean we are praying out loud all the time. Rather, it means we are to be in a constant state of God consciousness, where we take every thought captive to Him and bring every situation, every plan, fear or concern before His throne. Prayer is powerful because we can do it anytime, anywhere and in any way, and we are in direct communication with God, the creator of the universe. The other day I was outside at work blowing bubbles with a bubble wand, and the children were running off and popping them as they go and having a great time. But there was one boy who would stand there and look at me just wanting more. And I'd have to say to him, there's bubbles all around the yard, go and get those ones. But he'd stand there waiting for me to blow more bubbles. Are we asking God for stuff when he's already providing us with it? Are we thanking him for what he's already giving us? We could be asking God for a house and he's yelling, you already have one. We could be asking God for more money and he's telling us, I'm giving you enough money for what you need right now. Prayer is a two-way phone call. Through prayer, you talk to God and God can also speak to you. Are you listening to God's voice when you pray? Are you watching for the answers you are getting to prayers, or are you missing them because you're too busy asking God for more? Maybe we're too busy using prayer as a way to tell God what we want and not enough to ask God about what he wants. Can I please have the next slide? Oh, I've got this mixed up. That's fine. Huh? How did you notice? Okay, so praying without ceasing means it can be spoken, it can be whispered, shouted, sung, silent, written, typed, rapped, cried, laughed, danced. When you yell at God, you are praying to him. Did you know that? So don't feel guilty about that. He wants to hear your heart. You can pray in any form, at any time, in any state of emotion, or with any need. Next, we get to the power of prayer. Can I please have the next slide? The power of prayer has overcome enemies, has conquered death, has brought healing, defeated demons. God opens our eyes, changes our hearts, heals our wounds, and grants wisdom. Prayer should never be underestimated because it draws on the glory and the might of the infinitely powerful God of the universe. Put your hands up if you've seen the movie War Room. Yeah, half of you. I bought it on DVD and I have no idea where it's gone. But it's a great movie and it's all about prayer. And that was one of the Christian movies that made it to the cinemas. And because so many people went and saw it in the first week, they kept showing it and it was awesome. War Room's all about prayer being a defense against the enemy. Through praying, we are handing control to God over our situation and then trusting him to do his will. Our battle plan should be to pray. Thank you. Pray without ceasing, to fight, putting on the whole armor of God, and to trust, having done all that we can, putting our trust in God and standing. Prayer can do anything because with God, all things are possible. Thank you.
I don't think we'll sing, but I want to finish on a scripture that Cheryl alluded to and referred to. You notice how the dovetailing of the continual prayer, God's good. See, he knows what he's saying to us. Yep, absolutely. That's great. So well done, ladies. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. We often come with our requests to God and wonder why God hasn't answered. But here it says, you've got to trust in the Lord and do good. You've got to dwell in the land. That means just live in whatever situation you're in and enjoy the safe pasture when you've got it. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Are you truly delighting yourself in the Lord? Is he the most important thing in your life? I have to say there's times that God has not been the most important thing in my life. There are moments in my week where I focus more on other things and what's going on around me than I do God himself. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust him and he'll do this. You've got to commit yourself to God. You've got to trust him. Even when it looks like he's not there. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. It's a hard thing to do. Some people are saying, well, I've been praying this for 3 years. I've been praying this for 5 years. I've been praying for it all my life. Don't give up. Wait patiently before the Lord. Commit your way to Him. Delight yourself in Him. Trust in Him. Do good. And you know what? He will give you the desires of your heart. Because I'm telling you something. Some of you here have been praying for a lost family member. Some of you here have been praying for lost friends. Some of you have been here, you've been praying for situations that don't seem to change. Don't give up. Don't give up. Delight yourself in Him. There's a scripture that's been very powerful to me, particularly when I came out of my dark time, and that is the scripture that says, though He slay me, yet will I still praise Him. Whatever God does, He's not as important as who He is. If you delight yourself in the Lord, guess what? He loves the person you love and want saved more than you do. Wait patiently for Him. We thank you, Lord, this morning for the two wonderful words that we've heard that melded together and have given us so much to think about and to act upon. So, Lord, help us to learn how to pray continually, how to be in that aspect of being able to slip in and out of conversation with You as need arises. Lord, we ask You to take a hold of us and allow us as a church to not just be a praying church on a Sunday, not to be just a praying church at prayer meetings, not to be just a praying church when there's a need, but to pray and give You the glory that You deserve. We ask You all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.